I was talking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago. During her seminary studies, she called up her pastor because she was inquiring about doing an internship, which would have been a requirement of her seminary studies. She called the pastor's secretary. This was around February, and was given an appointment for early August. She said, even though they both deal with matters of the heart, it's easier to get in to see my cardiologist than my own pastor. And she was half joking, half not. I guess it happens once, maybe twice a week. One of you will call my office or send me an email, and before getting into asking whatever it is that you need me to do, you will invariably say, now I know how busy you are, as a way of apologizing, I guess, for interrupting me. Now, I know you're just being polite, and I appreciate that, but the last thing I want you to be apologetic about is calling your pastor. Yes, sometimes I get very busy, but a part of my calling is to have what one of my mentors called a ministry of interruptions. That is, sometimes life just happens, or as is often the case, sometimes death just happens, and I need to drop what I am doing and be attentive. Sometimes, of course, those interruptions last for the afternoon. Sometimes those interruptions last a few days, causing things to pile up. And when that happens, it causes me to feel like Martha from our gospel lesson today. Sometimes the work of ministry overwhelms me, if I'm honest. The pressure I feel from all that I need to do, the guilt I feel from all that I was not able to do, the people I couldn't visit, the calls I couldn't make, the emails I couldn't return, the sermons I know could have been better if I'd had a couple more days to study. I can relate to what my friend and fellow pastor Larry Bethune would often say. He would tell his congregation, sometimes I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of sadness, and if one more of you calls me with bad news, I just might run away and join the circus. Now, please don't get me wrong. I love being a pastor, and I love being your pastor. And I don't want any of you to hesitate even for a second in calling me, texting me, emailing me if you have a need. But sometimes I am like Martha, far too much like Martha, even for my own good. This way of feeling, of course, is not exclusive to pastors. I'm willing to bet you felt this way before. Perhaps you feel like this all the time. You want to give all you can to your church, to your schoolwork, to your job, to your family, social groups, volunteer organizations. We want to do all we can to help make this church and our community and this world a better place. But in the midst of it all, it can feel like we're trying to empty out an ocean armed with a teaspoon. Yes, our lives are very busy these days, aren't they? Teetering on the verge of just burning out. Our lives are so complicated, filled with work, bills, and that never-ending pile of dirty laundry. For many of us, we feel chained to our desks, experiencing that unhealthy compulsion to overperform in our jobs, in what minister and pastoral care professor Wayne Oates called workaholism. We get too busy to go out with our friends. We get too busy to spend time with our children. And I'm afraid we sometimes get too busy for God, and that is a problem. The burden of carrying the weight and guilt of all we have to do builds and builds and builds to the point that we damage the relationships around us and even do damage to our souls. And I'm afraid I am chief offender among anyone. When I read this story from Luke, that's what this sounds like to me. This condition I'm describing sounds like what is happening in this story to Martha and to Mary. Now, we've met Mary and Martha before. John's gospel tells us about them. They live with their brother Lazarus in the Jerusalem suburb of Bethany. The way John tells it, Lazarus has died, and Jesus, so distraught over his friend's passing, he calls for Lazarus to rise up out of the grave, and he does. It's an amazing story, one of my favorites. That's another sermon. Back to Luke. Luke doesn't mention Lazarus in this story. So we don't know where he is. Maybe he's in the living room sitting with the other men, listening to Jesus' teaching, while the women are in the kitchen preparing some sort of refreshment for their guest, as fortunately would have been the custom of that day. Except Luke tells us that Mary isn't helping out in the kitchen. She isn't doing any of her customary duties. Instead of preparing the chicken salad, the pimento cheese, or brewing the iced tea, she's in the living room too. She's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching, which sounds fine and good, but that means Martha, the already overworked Martha, is having to do that much more work. Mary is so enthralled with what Jesus is saying that she doesn't even seem to notice that she's not helping out. What's more, Jesus doesn't seem to notice at first either. But you better believe Martha notices. She says, not quite whispering, "Man, sure is a lot of work to do around here." As she mixes the pimento cheese, she bangs that spoon against the side of the bowl so others can hear. And as she sets the table, she suddenly gets a frog in her throat. You know what's going on, don't you? As she pours a glass of tea for Jesus, she gives her sister one of those looks. One of those burn a hole right through you looks. I'm sorry Andrea isn't up here to demonstrate this look for you. Because I think I've gotten it once or twice. Jesus is going on and on about how the poor are blessed and how the meek are the ones that will inherit the earth and how we're blessed when we create peace in our relationships. as he's in the middle of his teaching, Martha can't stand it anymore. She all of a sudden blows a gasket. She storms into the living room and looks right at, not her sister or brother, but at the guest of honor. With her hands on her hips, she looks right at Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." How many times have we prayed that prayer? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what's happening to me? Don't you see what we're trying to do here at River Road Church? Can't you see how hard we're working? Send some people over here to help us. I don't know about you, but my heart goes out to Martha. I can understand her losing her cool over Mary's selfishness and irresponsibility, should we call it? We've all felt this way before, haven't we? It isn't fair. We want Jesus to see the injustice of all this situation and do something about it. We want him to say, "Mary, Lazarus, get off the sofa. Go into the kitchen and help your sister." We want Jesus to say, "Martha, you're right. We're sorry. We were so into this teaching and studying together and praying together that we were inattentive to you. We didn't notice how hard you were working. And our lack of work caused you to work even harder. We're sorry about that." But Jesus doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't say anything like that. He just says, "Martha, Martha." And that may be my favorite part of this story. Jesus calls her by name. I suspect he calls her by name not once, not twice, because first he wants to get her attention. Second, to let her know that he cares. "Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her," he says. Church, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees what is going on in your life, and he cares. What's more, Jesus honors you by calling you by name. "Daniel, Daniel, slow down for a minute. Sit here beside me." What is Jesus telling us in this story? Is Jesus saying that prayerful contemplation is more important than serving others? I don't think so. Remember, Luke tells these stories in a certain order on purpose. And this story follows right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, which teaches us not to pass by others in need, but to actively serve them and care for our neighbors in need. But caring for our neighbors in need week after week after week is hard work. We don't receive many expressions of gratitude, and it's awfully easy to get burned out. And when we get burned out, our service to others is not born of love, but born out of exhaustion and, worst, some form of self-righteous judgmentalism. That's why we Marthas need to get over ourselves. I'm not the most important person in the world, and neither are you. God's reign of justice and mercy does not depend entirely upon Daniel Glaze. Bringing Christ's kingdom to earth does not rest entirely upon your shoulders. It's so easy to think ministry is all about us. And it causes us to see the persons we're ministering with as objects of ministry rather than members of community. And it's easy to forget why we're doing all this ministry in the first place. Because God loves us. And God wants to love this world through us. And it's easy to forget that first and foremost, ministry isn't about work. It's about relationships. So sometimes we Marthas just need to stop. We need to stop what we're doing long enough to sit quietly at the Lord's feet and just be. Be loved. Be cared for. Be renewed. But we know that's hard to do, isn't it? For the idealistic perfectionists among us, sitting, praying, meditating, listening, that feels like we're wasting time. But it's not wasted time. Time with God is investing in our most important relationship. Last week after worship, we held a reception to honor the 25-year ministry of Wendy Graves in our River Road Preschool. In recognition of her ministry, we gave to Wendy a watercolor painting by Richmond minister and artist Suzanne Stovall Vinson. In the middle of this print, in beautiful calligraphy, is a benediction by the late Fred Craddock. It says, "Live simply, love generously, speak truthfully, serve faithfully, and leave everything else to God." I love that. It doesn't let us off the hook for our work. No, we are to do what we can. But everything else, we leave that to God. Maybe we need to be clear about something. In elevating Mary and her behavior of spending time with him, I don't think Jesus is saying all we need to do is become spiritual hermits. Just keep our eyes focused on him. Let the needs of the world pass us by. I don't think he's saying always be like Mary. I think he's saying you don't always have to be Martha. I think he's saying don't get so busy working for me that you forget me. Because the Bible is clear. Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is hopeless. So maybe I am a Martha. But this story teaches me that I need to be a Mary too. And isn't that a pertinent message for today? There is so much work to do. Not just here in Richmond, but all around the world. There are conversations we need to have. There are wounds we need to attend to. Like Martha, we have so much work to do. But like Mary, we must take time to rest. We must not get so busy doing the work of ministry that we forget the one who called us to this ministry in the first place. And the one who called us to the work of ministry also calls us to the ministry of rest. We rest not simply by ceasing our work. No, we rest in Christ Himself. He was the one, after all, who said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Amen.